from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download.
This is 10 and Curtis on WEEI.
In the past, that one of Drake May's positives is that he can make plays by himself and overcome some things around him. I was wondering, would the offensive line ever be an impediment to maybe considering him as the starter, or maybe, you know, not giving him as much time if you don't trust the line?
Yeah, for me, we always talk about competition, and that's at all spots. So even if Drake, you know, beats out Jacoby, I mean, he earned that role, and we don't really take that into consideration when he's ready to go. And if he's better than Jacoby, then he'll play, he'll start.
That was Gerard Mayo talking about Drake May and Jacoby Brissett. That has been the biggest story in Boston since the preseason game Thursday night. I wonder how much of the fan reaction has impacted the front office's thinking, just all the way from the reaction to the first preseason game when Drake May only played a series, to the second preseason game where Brissett had a really bad first quarter, an awful, you know, just disgraceful interception in the red zone, and Drake May playing pretty well, combined with the groundswell of newfound energy in the fan base. I wonder how all that plays together to get the wheels of motion in the direction of Drake May playing.
So I think that's a fair question now, especially since we now have what we believe are more human coaches. Like, and that's not meant to be a shot at Bill. He was just what he was. Stoic, curmudgeon, stone-faced, whatever you want to call it. Gerard Mayo is not that, and he's admitted he's not that. Like, he's an emotional young coach building relationships. He's modern. So they feel it. They feel the energy. You can't be a human being and stand in that building. I don't care if there's only 40,000 people, whatever it was, and not feel the energy change when Drake May is leading the offense. And that touchdown, everybody made the big deal. I think it was six rookies on the field
for
Drake May's touchdown. You can't help but look at that and say, yeah, that's kind of what we're doing. That right there is a snapshot. We have a young athletic quarterback surrounded by young players. Like my guy Paul Perillo was talking, be whatever he's going to be on the, you know, Discount Furniture Studios hits and all that. I used to be there, and yes, he works for the team, whatever. But when you're talking about the offensive line, and he goes, I don't know, maybe if you look at getting Caden Wallace, a draft pick, in there at some point at tackle, and Laydon Robinson in there at guard, maybe that helps the offensive line grow and become better in week four, week eight, whatever. Is it optimistic? Sure. But it's also reality, because Bedarian Lowe is a third-year journeyman player. Chuks Okorafor is a, I don't even know what year, journeyman player who got benched by the Steelers. So the youth movement is real. The youth movement is what you have. And if you're seemingly, again, a human being like Alex Van Pelt, he comes off as a very just like normal guy, right? Normal football guy. Been in football my whole life. I'm a quarterback, but I can acknowledge what's going on. I'm not going to stonewall every question or stonewall every idea. They have to feel when they ended minicamp. I don't know if you remember this story. They ended mandatory minicamp. The final throw was a touchdown pass from Drake May to Jalen Polk of the corner of the end zone. There were referees. Jabril Peppers is arguing that he was out of bounds, and the refs put their arms up, and everybody cheers. That's a bigger play because that's Drake May to Jalen Polk, right? Like, because that's the future. That's right. What you just drafted. Those are your first two picks connecting. So, yes, I think that idea, that energy, that buzz, we used the word earlier, I think that plays into the decision. And more importantly than that, I think it should. Like, let's not waste time. Haven't we already wasted 4 years?
We sure have.
So why do we need to waste a fifth? Or even a portion of a fifth? You wasted four. It went nowhere. You spun your wheels. Now you've ripped the Band-Aid off, named Bill Belichick, and now you have the opportunity to try to fast-track whatever's going on. Why not?
And the thing that is just most, outside of the fact that it's so redundant, but it's also wrong. The people that sit and fear for the health of Drake May, or the health of Drake May's mind, where the first part, playing quarterback in the NFL is basically driving with a learner's permit. Like, you have to have somebody with you. You have to be, you know, undergoing all this brand new driver's ed. You are under a far bigger, you have a far bigger buffer zone than you do if you're a long range trucker, you know, going 80 miles an hour across the country every week. So what I don't understand is this fear of injury to a young quarterback because of an offensive line. If it does happen, and we just saw J.J. McCarthy get injured, barely getting touched.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Burrow got injured, missed the season. They got Ja'Marr Chase. Like,
worked out well.
Where in that calculus is that player going to be forever damaged? And secondly, if Drake May is losable by stress or anxiety or too much on his plate, then he's never going to be a great player anyway.
That's my end game. Like Robert Griffin III, did he have injuries? Sure. But then other stuff came out from his career in Washington about how soft he was mentally, and they weren't allowed to, like, criticize him in team meetings. He had to have separate meetings where they were going to be critical of what he, like, right there, that tells you it wasn't just the injury. It wasn't that they rushed him back from the injury. It was that he was not a franchise quarterback. He wasn't built for the job. Or the car in Houston, oh, he gets sacked too many times. Okay, well, do you think that he was actually going to be Tom Brady, but he got sacked a bunch of times and that ruined him?
Right. My thing is, if Joe Burrow is on that Texans team, he's okay.
Right.
Because Joe Burrow got sacked 50 times with the Bengals.
Right. Or Patrick Mahomes or any of these guys that prove they are diamonds.
And what Mac Jones, I mentioned it earlier, what Mac Jones's draft bio said came to fruition. There wasn't a lot of questions. I mean, he doesn't have the crazy strong arm, but the biggest weakness on many of his scouting profiles was that he was petulant. He was a tennis brat. He didn't get along with all of his teammates. Nick Saban had to tell him to back off from time to time. And that is what we saw. And with Drake May, I mean, I think he is perfectly dumb at this point in that he doesn't know what he doesn't know, and he's unafraid.
Right.
And that's what you need from a guy in that position.
And now, you can say, oh, teams do this all the time. They sell you on things they don't actually believe. They're actually trying to package it and whatever. But if we believe Elliot Wolf and Gerard Mayo, they told us on draft weekend, one of the things we kind of liked about Drake May is his team kind of sucked last year, and he kind of handled it really well. There were a lot of reporters. We watched all his post-game press conferences that tried to get him to critique his offensive line, to try to critique his receivers and say, oh, I can't do it alone. And he never would do that. So if you believe that, they actually think this guy is ready to go through the trials and tribulations of a rookie year. And then the flip side of that is behind you on the screen, they're doing WNBA stuff on SportsCenter. So did anybody kind of have a weirder start than Caitlin Clark? Like, it felt like the whole world of the WNBA was strangely against her. People are shoving her to the floor. They're saying, she's got a wake-up call coming.
Right.
Did she get crushed by it?
No.
Because from what I've seen, she's one of the best players in the league already. Why? Because she's good. Because right. She's a diamond. She's truly a diamond. Now, somebody else, maybe getting shoved to the floor, maybe not getting helped up by a teammate. Mac Jones in that situation, maybe he starts to question, oh, they don't like me. I'm not that good. Whatever. But Caitlin Clark says, F you, I'm the best player on the floor. I'm going to show you that.
And the best non-measurable element or ingredient to the Patriots' double dynasty was that they would have those pressure-packed environments by their own doing.
Mm-hmm.
They would force people in or out because of how competitive they were, not just on the practice field, in the locker room, on the planes. Everything they did was predicated on holding others accountable and making sure everybody was, as they talk about, I think in the it was the man in the arena, the edgers, right? You had McGinnis and Vrabel and Bruschi and Law and Tom and all these guys that would say, oh, good afternoon at 5:30 in the morning. Or Rodney Harrison comes in and lays out Troy Brown in training camp. That's why they were so great for so long outside of the talent, was that they didn't want people who were mentally weak.
Right.
And that's what, if you believe Drake May is worthy of the third pick in the draft, then you should simultaneously believe that nothing that would happen in a bad rookie year would derail his career.
And now you have to find, and I agree with you on the McGinnis and those guys, but now you have to find the modern version of those, because I don't think you can just find a Willie McGinnis prototype and he leads the same way he did in 2003. Because I do think these guys are different. We were talking about Christian Gonzalez. Like, those are the two pillars right now, right? If we were going to pencil in pillars, it's May and Gonzalez. Your last two first-round picks, we think one's an elite corner. We think one can be a Pro Bowl quarterback in a league where those two jobs are really important. But they're very different. Like, I don't know how driven those guys are in terms of maniacal Tom Brady, you know, Rodney Harrison. If you get there at 5:45, I'll get there at 5:30. And if you get there at 5:30, I'll get there at 5. And I don't know if you even need that in this day and age, but you need to find those guys that whatever the way to lead in 2024 is, they're capable of that. They're capable of, and I think that's what Mayo is trying to do. That's the thing that gets Gresh so pissy. Gresh thinks you have to do it the 1982 style way. And I think you need to find the way it works in 2024, because I don't think you can do it the same way.
Right. And I would say that Sean McVay and the way Bruce Arians coached and the way Andy Reid coaches are all different than the way Bill Belichick coached.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't mean that Bill Belichick was wrong and they're right, but there is a... The issue with this team, above all else, was dysfunction. There was no coach-to-quarterback communication. There were different factions. There were the kids on the staff. There was Mayo with the baseball bat waiting for the job. There was Robert Kraft against the head coach. It's already really hard, and they were able to do it because they had the greatest coach and quarterback in the history of the game at the same time and a bunch of really good players. But when you don't have that, you need to get rid of the dysfunction, and they did.
Right. I would argue it was functional and talented. Then it became talented and dysfunctional. Then it became dysfunctional and not talented. That was the evolution. So, because I actually think that in the end, you just didn't have talent.
You
just didn't have good enough players to overcome the dysfunction, and you marry those two together, and that's how you end up picking in the top three picks in the draft. So you hope you've turned the corner in terms of functional, correct? Because Mayo's the new age leader. Now you got to figure out if you've brought the talent with the functionality, and if so, then you're going in the right direction.
All right, well, that is the latest here on the Patriots as they approach their final couple days of training camp without the fans. They're down there today and tomorrow and Monday, and then they get ready for their final preseason game Sunday. We'll hear from Joe Braverman now with What's Trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
It was a high-scoring affair in Baltimore last night, but the Red Sox were able to win it by a final score of 12-10 over the Orioles. Sox scored 8 earned runs on 10 hits off of starter Corbin Burns. He got the loss, only lasting 4 innings. They got home runs from Rafi Devers, Masataka Yoshida, David Hamilton, and Jaron Duran. Tristan Casas also played for the first time since April 20th. He finished 1-for-5 with 2 strikeouts. Game 3 of this 4-game set will get underway tonight. Will Fleming and Tyler Murray have the call from Camden Yards at 7:05 on the Shaw's and Star Market. WEEI Red Sox Radio Network, Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Brian Bay will get the start for the Sox opposite Cade Povich for the O's. Rob Bradford will get everything started with the Mass Mutual pregame show at 6:05. Mass Mutual Insurance Planning Investments. Elsewhere in the MLB, the Royals defeated the Reds 7-1, and the Mariners fell to the Pirates 5-3, meaning the Sox still are 2.5 games out of the final wild card spot, but are a full 2 games clear of Seattle as the last team out in the AL playoff standings. Patriots resume practicing this afternoon as they get ready for their preseason finale next Sunday against the Commanders. Gerard Mayo has already stated that the top offense will play in that game a week from tomorrow. And meanwhile, preseason week 2 continues in the NFL. There are a dozen games on the slate, starting at noon with the Falcons taking on the Ravens, and it concludes tonight at 10 with the Cowboys against the Raiders. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
A touchdown, you're on the field with 5 other rookies from, you know, this class. Just wondering, how special of a moment was that to be on the field with, you know, those guys, and what's it been like gelling with that group?
Yeah, it's an awesome moment. We always spent a lot of time in here in them rookie meetings. During the spring, it was just us, so you know, it was definitely cool having those guys out there. I think one of the first things I did was, I think I chest bumped, you know, JP, so just cool to get out there with some of the guys that are in the same spot, going through the same thing, and you know, fun time for us. That, you know, moment I'll probably never forget.
Ooh. Ken and Curtis, Ken off today. Ken did a great job orchestrating, organizing the WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, which raised just under $4 million in 2 days. Andy, I mentioned this on the Greg Hill Show. It's incredible I had the privilege years ago working at ESPN, and we did the V Foundation, which is a great Jim Valvano, great foundation. Bobby V, one of the nicest people around. And they were on, I think, at the time, we were 500 ESPN radio stations, and they would raise $600,000 or $1 million, and it was like unbelievable. And it was. It's great. It's going to the best cause in the world. But to do this on 2 days for one little part of the country, one radio station, one TV station, it's just, it's unbelievable.
Well, that's another example of we're better than everybody else. I mean, we even do fundraising better than everybody else.
It really is.
I mean, we as a community of Boston, not WEEI.
Of course. No.
I want to clarify that.
People here are, I wish there was a way, I'm sure they have ways that they can tabulate it, but like, people go to the West Coast, or people like, you know, the charm or the happiness of the Midwest, or the polite nature, or the way people are nice to you. You know, people say you look nice in California. Like, I would live 1,000 times out of 1,000 for somebody to say, ooh, you might want to get back in the gym, or, you know, you're not funny, or whatever, and be real and connect instead of saying one thing to you and one thing to everybody else.
Right.
And that's what the defining nature of this region is, that we are tough on one another, but when somebody's in a tough time, we're there.
Yep, absolutely.
And it is a credit to everybody, nobody here, but a credit to everybody outside of the building who did that. I find it fascinating that was Drake May talking about coming of age with the rookie class. We talked about the 6 rookies on the field for the touchdown that he was a part of in the second preseason game. The NFL is amazing. It can be run by a moron. It can be owned by DBs. It can be totally full of people being forced to do violence, to damage their brains and all these things. And we are totally addicted to it. Today at 1 o'clock, there's Bears-Bengals preseason game. Doesn't matter. I can't wait to see Caleb Williams. I don't know if Joe Burrow is going to play at all. Maybe he will. But the rookie class, just a wild guess, I think this one's going to be pretty good for years to come. I like Jaden Daniels. I love Caleb Williams. I think Drake May is going to be pretty good. I think this is going to be a very interesting year where all three are going to be playing meaningful games early on.
I'm 100% with you, and it was, I always push back on the argument, oh, there's not going to be 3 good quarterbacks. Well, why? Why? If there's 3 good ones, there's 3 good ones. Just because there weren't 3 in 2008 or 2004 or whatever year Jake Locker got overdrafted or some of these Jags got drafted.
Matt Barkley.
Like, there's no rule that says, well, you know, we've actually instituted this rule. Only 2 of the top 3 quarterbacks can be good. Only 1 of the top 3 quarterbacks. Or there was this whole thing, there's like never been a good number 3 overall pick quarterback or something. Like, why? Just judge the talent you see. And I'm with you. All 3 look like they can play. And I think some of it is what they're coming into, a modern league that accepts them for who they are and doesn't try to make them be Peyton Manning or Tom Brady. Just says, let's mold what you do to work for us, to move the ball, to make plays. And like, I was just watching a video during the break of Brady explaining like what he did with his left hand inwardly to torque his hips. I don't think Drake May thinks about that crap. I think Drake May says, I got this ball, and I want to get it to that guy over there, so I'm going to do it.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's almost like dumbing down of everything, where Brady's way worked, and he probably had to do that. He couldn't get by on just pure, raw physical tools. But I think that's the world. And in some ways, it's more fun for us as fans to watch these guys. Like the one pass, it was just a little where Caleb Williams shot putted it to the guy, and then he runs around and gets like, that's football now, and it's fun to watch, and I think that's actually why everybody's so excited about May. Feels like we joined the cool group. Like, we were on the outside of the cool group of teams with quarterbacks that were fun to watch, whether they win or lose. They're just, like, fun to watch. Even Justin Fields, all the debates in Chicago. Was he good? Was he bad? Oh, he can rush for 1,000 yards, but can he throw? I feel like we entered the chat, as the kids say, of, like, the cool quarterback world.
Yeah, and I feel like I don't know what Alex Van Pelt will be as a coordinator, but it's out of the old way of doing business. And I don't know if the offense is going to be great, but
it won't. I do know it won't.
Every single cliched theory about drafting guys or why things work or don't work is predicated upon a league and a football culture that no longer exists. The passing offense is now massive everywhere outside of the Naval Academy and West Point. in terms of college football.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in every form of football has a vertical offense. Your son's a quarterback in high school.
Absolutely.
In ways that when you were in high school, when I was in high school, didn't exist.
Right. The 1,000-yard passers in Massachusetts high school football, back in like my day, 1,000 yards.
Right.
Over his 4 years, did you start for 4 years? Now you regularly just churn out these spread offenses with kids slinging the ball over the field for 1,000 yards. And that's what I mean where the NFL has now, I think Bill tried to do this. Your guy Belichick, to me, this is what he was trying to do with Patricia and Judge a few years ago. Dumb it down, accept the talent that is coming to us instead of forcing the talent to learn our way, the Brady 301, 401, 501 Patriot offense. I do think this is what he was trying to do a few years ago. Now it was a debacle on so many levels, is just take these guys for who they are when they get here and make it work for them. And that's, now, I don't know if it'll work because I do. If you want to talk about the fundamental aspects of things that still matter, the offensive line still matters. As much as we have Drake May and we have a young quarterback, the offensive line can still ruin everything. That's the one tenet that I think at high school level, college level, like Shedeur Sanders last year, that was the complaint, right? He's great. Deion can, like, we got Travis Hunter, we got Shedeur. The line stinks, we stink. You know, we started 3-0 and then we finish 4-8 or whatever it is. So,
right. Did Deion recreate how to coach yet again? Because that was the wildest ride I have ever been on. And what a dink he's been. Did you see those local, like.
Oh, yeah. He's always been a dink. He's a dink.
Yeah. I hope at some point Christian Fourier can discuss the behind the scenes of Colorado football at some. I just.
Me too.
I was all aboard, and then I heard from someone who knew what was going on, and I was appalled. So we have John Lyons coming in with Chris Shum. We're going to do a prolonged crossover coming up next. Andy Hart is here. Chris Curtis, Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Jump back into the final segment here. Ken and Curtis. No Ken and now no Curtis, but I think we've upgraded. No offense, Chris. Because we got two people to fill out the seats here in the WEEI studios. We are getting ready for a few hours of the Lions and Shime or Shime and Lions show. I'll let them decide. Chris Shime, morning show producer du jour.
Hello.
Along with our guy, John Lyons.
What's up, down Andy? How are you?
Patriots training camp, a part-time member of the Six Rings crew and the practice field recap. So, boys, how are we doing this Saturday afternoon?
Not bad. Now, the question is, Andy, which one of us is Ken and which is Curtis? I think it's the question.
Well, I was compared to Curtis the last time me and Andy did a show together.
You're like a young Chris Curtis or something.
The young Chris Curtis.
Yeah, he did. So, you're Curtis.
So, there you go.
And you're Ken. Which means you're kind of the
boss.
You're
bland.
That's good.
You're the bland manager.
Yeah. So, that's good. And I just do my thing. So, obviously, we've been talking mostly this morning about the Patriots. No disrespect to John Lyons. I know you want to talk Red Sox baseball. You get it.
Any, hey, Red Sox
all hours of the night
until
and day.
Midnight last night. I was locked in.
That softball
epic
game that broke out of Camden Yards.
You mean you didn't spend the whole show talking about the Celtics schedule?
Nope, we didn't break down the Celtics
schedule.
That
November 6th game against Golden State wasn't, you know.
I would argue the Celtics schedule is irrelevant until next June sometime when I say, did you win the NBA title again or did you not? Because that's all I care about. But the New England Patriots coming off a preseason loss that weirdly felt like a win because we all won thanks to the fact that Drake May got extended playing time as promised by Gerard Mayo. And Drake May took advantage of those opportunities. I think created a little buzz, not only inside Gillette Stadium, that actual action, but buzz through Patriot Nation, which the only real buzz we've had this summer is negative buzz from what the hell's going on with Judon. And that ended. They traded Judon
Thank
for a third-round pick. And then the buzz for a couple days there of Brandon Ayuk, which ended when he was basically, yeah, no, I want no part of you guys. You can't pay me enough to come there.
Literally.
Yes. Now we have actual homegrown, talent-based, youthful buzz in Drake May. So I'll start with you, Shime, because I know the answer.
Okay.
Week one, we're going to see a football game in Cincinnati.
Yep.
It's going to be Joe Burrow and the Super Bowl hopeful Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
Against who and the number one overall pick, hopeful New England Patriots.
It should, without a doubt, be Drake May.
Okay.
It's not even, like, it's not that Drake May is exponentially better than Jacoby Brissett right this moment. It is that he has the potential to be way better than Jacoby Brissett, and the fact that Jacoby Brissett has done nothing to show he deserves the job. That was kind of, and Wiggy made this point on our show multiple times, like it was kind of dumb that they brought him in and then immediately said, yeah, he's QB1. He hadn't done anything to earn the job. He's just been in the league. He's bounced around to a bunch of different teams and has a below 500 winning record as a starting quarterback in the NFL.
And his dad's not even the coach like Deion Sanders.
Exactly. And he was given the QB1 title right away, when in reality, it should have been a legitimate competition from day one. And Drake May has already shown he's more exciting, he's more fun, he has more potential, and there's way more possibility for good with Drake May.
Proud of you.
You go, girl!
Yeah, I began the Six Rings postgame show the other night, around 10 p.m. Thursday night, with a simple take. Drake May hasn't necessarily won the job. Jacoby Brissett lost it. He's lost me, because we knew he wasn't going to be entertaining, really, because he's
played. He never has been?
Yeah, he's never been entertaining. No matter what uniform you put him in, he was. Other than, you know what? He was entertaining as a Patriot.
As a backup, rookie. the third string.
Forced out there, and he ran that boot for the touchdown, and you're like, play. Well, that was kind of the last time, no disrespect, that you were entertaining.
That's when
Jacoby
we found
Brissett.
Out Jimmy wasn't tough. That's a side
That's
note.
Right.
That's a side note, though.
And we found out that Jacoby Brissett, for whatever he is, he's a gamer, but he's really not that good. And this summer, we've found out he's definitely not that good. Too many missed throws on the practice field for me. And then what I would dub two rookie mistakes in the game this week against the Eagles, where the forced interception to Austin Hooper, and then people seem to gloss over the next series when he's under duress and tried to throw another pick over the middle like a rookie under duress, except, I don't know, he's been in the NFL. Remember Pro Ready, Gerard Mayo called him?
Oh, yeah.
He didn't look Pro Ready in that game against the Eagles' backups. So,
and he's supposed to know this offense.
And he's not supposed to throw picks.
What His I whole found- thing is he's got like 52 career touchdowns and only 32 career picks. He won't turn the ball over. Guess what?
He's turning the damn ball over.
So, I'm going to go to you. I didn't ask you the question yet. Yeah. Look at this guy frothing at the mouth.
He's ready. He's excited.
How long are you guys on for?
3 hours.
You got three hours. For now, you get to wait till I ask your damn question.
See, that you can tell that last week when he and I were on with Mego, I interrupted him one too many times, and he was just ready.
Now he's getting back.
He was
at
ready
him.
To come at me right there. He had that in his back pocket.
So who are you starting week one, John Lyons?
Oh, Jacoby Brissett. I couldn't disagree with you guys more. Not
what are
even
we
close.
Doing?
I couldn't disagree with you guys more.
I'm as sick as Wiggy on a speedboat.
Oh, this next 3 hours is going to be great.
Yeah. Couldn't disagree with you guys more. Not at all.
I'm not playing. Por favor,
earliest I'm playing Drake May is like week six.
What?
Earliest.
Why?
Maybe week five. Yeah, not even close. So let me ask you some questions, Andy Hart. You're a known football guy. All right.
Sucking up will get you somewhere.
Claims to be a football guy, but go ahead.
Yeah. Who's their left tackle? I'm just going to ask you a series of questions. Just give me the answers.
Is this like in court? I can't like expand upon
my answers. No.
Well, based on practice evidence, Vidarian Lowe.
Okay, Vidarian Lowe.
Badgering.
How many years has Alex Van Pelt been the lead offensive coordinator calling plays?
For one.
Zero.
No, Buffalo. He was the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, but he wasn't calling all the plays.
Yeah, he was. For Dick Geron's team.
Oh, that's right. They stopped.
15 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I was 15 years ago?
So one.
Much younger man.
Now, let me. Another question. Question three. Who's their right tackle?
The right tackle, Chukwuma Okorafor.
Okay.
Based on
question
practice.
Number four, final question.
Ooh,
can you name me one person in the Patriots skill group that a defense really has to worry about game planning around or they will lose?
DeMario Douglas.
The answer is no.
Pop.
So do you really want to put a rookie in that situation?
Wait, objection, Your Honor. He can't tell me my answer is wrong in court.
Sustained. I don't know if that's appropriate.
Do you really want to put a rookie in that situation?
A rookie that is capable? Sure. You ever hear about diamonds? They don't break.
Damn right. Hey, get him, Andy. Let's go. Great answer.
Yeah.
Like
unfortunately, you put May in that situation, I think it becomes a rhinestone because have Vidarian Lowe at left tackle. You have, I don't know who at right tackle, maybe a core four. That's a serious problem. We've been talking about this, I know, for like 3 years.
So he's not playing this year. You want to play him week six. Why would you play him week six? The line is going to get worse,
great,
not better.
Great question. Why would you play him week six instead of week one?
It's also terrible. It's week five.
Why would you play him then? Well, you know, week three, you have the Jets defensive line, which is probably the second best one you'll play all year, maybe third best. Week four, you have the 49ers defensive line, which I think is the best. And we saw how, with another top three defensive line in Philly, how the protection looked in front of not just Drake May, but also Jacoby Brissett. You and I were both there at that joint practice. Not so hot. You get into week five or six, I disagree with you. I think the line can stabilize, get a little bit better.
That's if nobody gets injured.
Well, and then you just...
And in a football season,
you
it's
don't
just
play
a
30-something-year-old David Andrews
so
might be out
So you
then.
Would just not play him at all?
if your offensive line cannot protect for him, no.
What's the point of playing anybody then? Because if Jacoby Brissett gets hurt, Drake May is going to have to get in there anyway.
That's not how development works. Like, other guys can play and develop. If Drake May gets battered under a bad offensive line all year or half a year, what does that really serve him? Is he really developing?
Yes.
No, he's not.
He's getting live reps.
Joe Burrow tore his ACL 4 weeks into his first year.
Okay, so you wouldn't have played Joe Burrow.
That was a different situation.
Who's one of the three best quarterbacks in football.
Yeah. Joe Burrow was the number one overall pick and ready to go. There's a reason Drake May went three, by the way. You notice how when they ran...
two really good guys went 1 and 2.
Who were more pro-ready than him. That's also
Jaden Daniels is not more pro-ready than
Drake
May. Oh,
we're going back to pro-ready. Like Mac Jones was pro-ready until he turned into goo on the field.
Yeah, right?
Jaden Daniels was not more pro-ready than Drake May. That's why they won 10 games this first year.
He wasn't pro-ready. I was wrong at the time.
Yes, he was.
I thought he was pro-ready. He wasn't.
He was. He was ready enough.
Because he never had to struggle, and pros struggle.
Can't compare that situation in 2021 to now.
I absolutely can.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
Oh, you could be wrong if you want, but you can't compare that situation.
The position of quarterback is inherently a pressure-filled position, either sort of physically on the football
field,
or mentally off
of it. Andy, they had a much better team in 2021 than now.
I know.
Do you think this team is capable of winning 10 games?
Mac Jones broke. Why? Why did Mac Jones break? Because he wasn't pro-ready. He was wound tighter than a baseball.
So it was partly him and partly what they did around him.
Yeah, they're wound, I think.
Oh, no. It was all him.
Matt Patricia, Joe Judge running an offense.
When people used to like the idea that Mac Jones was punching himself in the thigh after an incompletion on the practice field.
No, that was part of it.
We should have said, what do the women call it? Like red flags or something?
Yes, red flags.
That was a get the hell out, this dude is a bad dude red flag. Yeah. Right there.
I told you from day one.
And don't forget the breathing exercises, too, on the side.
Right. Which didn't work.
And that was part of it.
The tennis brat was not ready for the NFL, so pro ready was wrong.
In spite of all that. And I don't want to go down a Mac Jones rabbit hole. But despite all those concerns, which were valid, I agree with you, still threw for 3,800 yards and made
the playoffs. Yeah, because you're right. It was a much better team.
Exactly.
It was a much better team against a much worse schedule.
Yeah, so, you had a cupcake schedule, and all the good teams you faced had their bad players or their best players.
That's why there you go. You guys are helping make my point.
No, we're not.
You play?
What are you going to do in week four when Nick Bosa comes off the edge against Vedarian Lowe and knocks Drake May out for the season, pushes back his development, he has to rehab all offseason?
I fire Alex Van Pelt if he has no adjustments and is just leaving Vedarian Lowe
If you're going to fire... Joe Burrow got hurt, they got the number three pick drafted, or number five pick drafted Jamar Chase, and then everything was great.
I'm with Herm Edwards. How is that a bad thing? Football players get ready to play football by playing football.
Because what happens if, in your scenario, what happens if...
You guys are leaving out his whole development. Like, I don't necessarily think he's ready to go. Like, okay, he looked pretty good against the Eagles backups.
He's a game-time player.
He would add 100 yards passing if Javon Baker didn't drop that post. That doesn't mean he's just ready to go.
You play to win the game.
Did you miss the part where I said, I don't know that he's necessarily won the job, but I know that
Jacoby
Brissett
has lost it? So that's the point. If he hasn't won the job, what?
Because your coach is a complete fraud. That makes your coach a complete fraud because he started day one and said, we are here as a team to compete. My training camp is about competition. There is a competition at quarterback. And if players know that the better quarterback isn't playing, you've established an entire foundation of your organization fraudulently.
Sure. But do they know the better quarterback's not playing?
Like, I feel like that's a fatal flaw.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be a but, not a sure but.
Sure.
No,
sure.
I like to mix it up. I'm not a big yeah but. I try to avoid yeah buts. Do the players necessarily know the best quarterback's not playing? I don't think that's true.
They don't have eyes?
Yeah, they have eyes. You and I have been there, too.
90 blind players?
like, I understand Brissett was bad the other night.
He's
and I think that's
bad.
Part of it.
He's
the
been
juxtaposition.
Bad. He's been bad in practice, too.
I don't think...
He has trended over
I think
over
you're
last...
overselling him being... Like, don't,
I think you're underselling
think May,
a guy wide no. open that he misses by
I've
5 yards.
I've seen Jacoby Brissett play for 8 years. I know what Jacoby Brissett is.
Has been better than I think people have given him credit for in practice. And like you and I, but I think he's been better. However, I don't think he's been consistently better than Brissett. And part of that is Jerod Mayo's fault. You won't rep him with the ones ever.
Correct.
So if he starts...
Give Drake May, DeMario Douglas, the guy that I answered. Remember my questions?
Yep.
And you said, who do you have to scheme for? It's a stretch. I'm not going to lie. That's all they got. But
Your Honor, please note he admits a stretch.
He's the closest thing you have, and Drake May never gets to play with him.
Yeah.
Never. And that's a problem.
I'm not disagreeing with that either. He doesn't play with Hunter Henry.
No disagreement. That's a win for Eddie Hart.
Give him Hunter Henry, Ramondre Stevenson, and DeMario Douglas, and you actually do have to warn him. Hey, just an FYI, we put your best offensive lineman in the middle. We moved our most expensive offensive lineman to guard. If I were you... I'd have my head on a swivel on the two edges because you're going to be under pressure, which is why we drafted an athletic quarterback who plays football.
Well, that's also the whole point of having a guy who can move.
Here's another piece, right? They want to run the West Coast offense, okay?
Sure.
Right? All
some
that
people want
them
to
stuff.
Scrap it already, which I don't really understand.
Hey, I still miss Josh McDaniels, but that's just me. But anyways.
He's available if you want him.
Just not as head coach. But what it also, as good as Drake May was, what did he do the other night? Fumbled a snap. Like
with
that's
a huge backup center?
Another point in the offensive line category. You have a lot of uncertainty there.
No, that's why I want to put him out there behind David Andrews.
Yeah, because what happened with David Andrews in the game? He didn't fumble a snap.
The most important player on the team
fumbled,
is named David Andrews.
100% agree.
You and I have seen it. He's fumbled multiple snaps in training camp. Now, he's gotten better, but I think they got to wait on
that's the exit
is that Knight Rider coming in? Is that Michael Knight coming driving up behind me on the highway?
Is that his actual name, Michael Knight?
Yeah, Michael Knight, Knight Rider. You never watch Knight Rider?
No, I know Knight Rider,
by the way.
Program,
I don't know what that is.
Because I tried to go back and watch it with my kids and be
not
like,
great.
I loved this as a kid.
And it stunk, right?
It's one of the worst things I've ever seen produced for a small screen.
So, like, I know of Knight Rider, but I didn't know any of the characters' names.
And in my mind, I prefer to go back to, like, it was awesome and I loved it, and Kit and the car and Michael Knight, badasses, because it's horrific. But hopefully the next 3 hours on WEEI will not be horrific because you will get Chris Scheim. He gets the first name because he's right in this argument. With John Lyons, who will continue. Jump back into the final segment here. Ken and Curtis. No Ken and now no Curtis, but I think we've upgraded. No offense, Chris. Because we got two people to fill out the seats here in the WEEI studios. We are getting ready for a few hours of the Lyons and Scheim or Scheim and Lyons show. I'll let them decide. Chris Scheim, morning show producer du jour.
Hello.
Along with our guy, John Lyons.
What's up, down Andy? How are
Patriots
you?
Training camp, a part-time member of the Six Rings crew and the practice field recap. So, boys, how are we doing this Saturday afternoon?
Now, question is, Andy, which one of us is Ken and which is Curtis? I think it's the question.
Well, I was compared to Curtis the last time me and Andy
did a
show together.
You're like a young Chris Curtis or something.
A young Chris Curtis.
Yeah, he did. So, you're Curtis.
So there you go.
And you're Ken. Which means you're kind of the
boss.
You're
bland.
That's good.
Right. You're the bland manager.
Yeah. So, that's good. And I just do my thing. So, obviously, we've been talking mostly this morning about the Patriots. No disrespect to John Lyons. I know you want to talk Red Sox baseball. You get it.
Hey, Red Sox
all hours of the night and
until
day.
Midnight last night. I was locked in.
That softball
epic
game that broke out
runs,
at Camden Yards.
Minutes. You mean you didn't spend the whole show talking about the Celtics schedule?
Nope, we didn't break down the Celtics
that
schedule.
That November 6th game against Golden State wasn't, you know.
I would argue the Celtics schedule is irrelevant until next June sometime when I say, did you win the NBA title again or did you not? Because that's all I care about. But the New England Patriots coming off a preseason loss that weirdly felt like a win because we all won thanks to the fact that Drake May got extended playing time as promised by Gerard Mayo. And Drake May took advantage of those opportunities. I think created a little buzz, not only inside Gillette Stadium, that actual action, but buzz through Patriot Nation, which the only real buzz we've had this summer is negative buzz from what the hell's going on with Judon. And that ended. They traded Judon
Thank
for a third-round pick. And then the buzz for a couple days there of Brandon Ayuk, which ended when he was basically, yeah, no, I want no part of you guys. You can't pay me enough to come there.
Literally.
Yes. Now we have actual homegrown, talent-based, youthful buzz in Drake May. So I'll start with you, Scheim, because I know the answer.
Okay.
Week one, we're going to see a football game in Cincinnati.
Yep.
It's going to be Joe Burrow and the Super Bowl hopeful Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
Against who and the number one overall pick, hopeful New England Patriots.
It should, without a doubt, be Drake May.
Okay.
It's not even, like, it's not that Drake May is exponentially better than Jacoby Brissett right this moment. It is that he has the potential to be way better than Jacoby Brissett, and the fact that Jacoby Brissett has done nothing to show he deserves the job. That was kind of, and Wiggy made this point on our show multiple times, like, it was kind of dumb that they brought him in and then immediately said, yeah, he's QB1. He hadn't done anything to earn the job. He's just been in the league. He's bounced around to a bunch of different teams and has a below 500 winning record as a starting quarterback in the NFL.
And his dad's not even the coach like Deion Sanders.
Exactly. And he was given the QB1 title right away, when in reality, it should have been a legitimate competition from day one. And Drake May has already shown he's more exciting, he's more fun, he has more potential, and there's way more possibility for good with Drake May.
Proud of you.
You go, girl!
Yeah, I began the Six Rings postgame show the other night, around 10 p.m. Thursday night, with a simple take. Drake May hasn't necessarily won the job. Jacoby Brissett lost it. He's lost me because we knew he wasn't going to be entertaining, really, because he's
played. He never has been.
Yeah, he's never been entertaining. No matter what uniform you put him in, he was. Other than, you know what? He was entertaining as a Patriot.
As a backup, the third string.
He got forced out there and he ran that boot for the touchdown. And you're like, well, that was kind of the last time, no disrespect, that you were entertaining.
That's when
Jacoby
we found
Brissett.
Out Jimmy wasn't tough. That's a side
That's
note.
Right.
That's a side note, though.
And we found out that Jacoby Brissett, for whatever he is, he's a gamer, but he's really not that good. And this summer we've found out he's definitely not that good. Too many missed throws on the practice field for me. And then what I would dub two rookie mistakes in the game this week against the Eagles, where the forced interception to Austin Hooper, and then people seem to gloss over the next series when he's under duress and tried to throw another pick over the middle like a rookie under duress, except, I don't know, he's been in the NFL. Remember Pro Ready, Gerard Mayo called him?
Oh, yeah.
He didn't look Pro Ready in that game against the Eagles backups.
And he's supposed to know this offense.
And he's not supposed to throw picks.
Thing is he's got like 52 career touchdowns and only 32 career picks. He won't turn the ball over. Guess what?
He turns the damn ball over.
So, I'm going to go to you. I didn't ask you the question yet. Look at this guy frothing at the mouth.
He's ready. He's
how
excited.
How long are you guys on for?
3 hours.
You got 3 hours. For now, you get to wait till I ask your damn question.
See, that you can tell that last week when he and I were on with Mego, I interrupted him one too many times and he was just ready.
Now he's getting back.
He was ready to come at me right there. He had that in his back pocket.
So who are you starting week one, John Lyons?
Oh, Jacoby Brissett. I couldn't disagree with you guys more. Not even close. Couldn't disagree with you guys more.
I'm as sick as Wiggy on a speedboat.
Yeah.
This next three hours is going to be great.
Yeah. Couldn't disagree with you guys more.
I'm not playing
Drake May is like week six.
What? Why?
Maybe week five. Yeah, not even close. So let me ask you some questions, Andy Hart. You're a known football guy. All right?
Sucking up will get you somewhere.
Claims to be a football guy, but go ahead.
Yeah. Who's their left tackle? I'm just going to ask you a series of questions. Just give me the answers.
Is this like in court? I can't like expand upon
my answers.
Well, based on practice evidence, Vidarian Lowe.
Okay, Vidarian Lowe.
Badgering.
How many years has Alex Van Pelt been the lead offensive coordinator calling plays?
For one.
Zero.
No, Buffalo. He was the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, but he wasn't calling all the plays.
Yeah, he was. For Dick Geron's team.
Oh, that's right. They stunned.
15 years ago.
Yeah, okay.
You
so
know
what
one.
I was 15 right. years ago?
So one.
Much right. younger man.
Now, let me. Another question. Question three. Question three. Who's their right tackle?
The right tackle, Chukwuma Okorafor?
Okay.
Based on
question
practice.
Number four, final question.
Ooh,
can you name me one person in the Patriots skill group that a defense really has to worry about game planning around or they will lose?
DeMario Douglas.
The answer is no.
Pop.
So do you really want to put a rookie in that situation?
Wait, objection, Your Honor. He can't tell me my answer is wrong in court.
Sustained. I don't know if that's appropriate.
Do you really want to put a rookie in that situation?
A rookie that is capable? Sure. You ever hear about diamonds? They don't break.
Damn right. Hey, get him, Andy. Let's go. Great answer.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you put May in that situation, I think it becomes a rhinestone because have Vidarian Lowe at left tackle. You have, I don't know who at right tackle, maybe a core four. That's a serious problem. We've been talking about this, I know, for like 3 years.
So he's not playing this year. You want to play him week six. Why would you play him week six? The line is going to get worse,
great,
not better.
Great question. Why would you play him week six instead of week
terrible.
One?
It's week five.
Why would you play him then? Well, you know, week three, you have the Jets defensive line, which is probably the second best one you'll play all year, maybe third best. Week four, you have the 49ers defensive line, which I think is the best. And we saw how, with another top three defensive line in Philly, how the protection looked in front of not just Drake May, but also Jacoby Brissett. You and I were both there at that joint practice. Not so hot. You get into week five or six, I disagree with you. I think the line can stabilize, get a little bit better.
That's if nobody gets injured.
Well, and then you just...
And in a football season,
you don't
it's just
play
a
30-something-year-old David Andrews
so
might
you,
be out
So
by
you
then.
Would just not play him at all?
If your offensive line cannot protect for him, no.
What's the point of playing anybody then? Because if Jacoby Brissett gets
because
hurt,
that's
Drake May is going to have to get in there anyways.
That's not how development works. Like, other guys can play and develop. If Drake May gets battered under a bad offensive line all year or half a year... What does that really serve him? Is he really developing?
Yes.
No, he's not.
He's getting live reps.
Joe Burrow tore his ACL 4 weeks into his first year.
Okay, so you wouldn't have played Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow, that was a different situation.
Who's one of the
Joe
three Burrow best quarterbacks in football.
Yeah. Joe Burrow was A, the number one overall pick and ready to go. There's a reason Drake May went three, by the way. You notice how when they ran...
two really good guys went one and two.
Who were more pro-ready than him. That's also a piece of this.
Daniels is not more pro-ready
than
Drake
May. Oh, we're going back to pro-ready. Like, Mac Jones was pro-ready until he turned into goo on the field.
Yeah, right. Mac Jones Daniels was not more pro-ready than
Drake
May.
That's why they won 10 games his first year.
He wasn't pro-ready.
Yes, he was.
I was wrong at the time.
Yes, he was.
I thought he was pro-ready. He wasn't.
He was. He was ready enough.
Because he had never had to struggle, and pros struggle.
You can't compare that situation in 2021 to now.
I absolutely can.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
Oh, you can be wrong if you want, but you can't compare
that situation. The position of quarterback is inherently a pressure-filled position, either sort of physically on the football
field,
or mentally
off of it. Andy, they had a much better team in 2021 than now.
I know.
Do you think this team is capable of winning 10 games?
Mac Jones broke. Why?
Do you?
Why did Mac Jones break? Because he wasn't pro-ready. He was wound tighter than a baseball.
So it was partly him and partly what they did around him.
Yeah, they're wound, I think.
Oh, no. It was all him.
Matt Patricia, Joe Judge running an offense.
When people used to like the idea that Mac Jones was punching himself in the thigh after an incompletion on the practice
field. No, that was part of it.
We should have said, what do the women call it? Like red flags or something?
Yes, red flags.
That was a get the hell out. This dude is a bad dude red flag. Yeah. Right there.
I mean, I told you from day one.
And don't forget the breathing exercises, too, on the side.
Right. Which didn't work.
And that was part of it.
The tennis brat was not ready for the NFL, so pro ready was wrong.
In spite of all that. And I don't want to
crossover.
I don't want to go down a Mac Jones rabbit hole. But despite all those concerns, which were valid, I agree with you. Still threw for 3,800 yards and made.
Yeah, because
playoffs.
You're right. It was a much better team.
Exactly.
It was a much better team against a much worse schedule.
Yeah, so, you had a cupcake schedule, and all the good teams you faced had their bad players or their best players.
That's why
there you go. You guys are helping make my point.
No,
more
we're not.
Evidence
no,
in
we're
my
not.
Column.
No, we're not.
You play.
What are you going to do in week four when Nick Bosa comes off the edge against Vidarian Lowe and knocks Drake May out for the season, pushes back his development, he has to rehab all offseason?
I fire Alex Van Pelt if he has no adjustments and is just leaving Vidarian Lowe.
Hold on.
If you're going to fire.
Joe Burrow got hurt. They got the number three pick drafted, or number five pick drafted Jamar Chase, and then everything was great.
Like, I'm with Herm Edwards.
How is
football
that a bad
players
thing?
Get ready to play football by playing football.
Because what happens if, in your scenario, what happens
leaving out his whole development? Like, I don't necessarily think he's ready to go. Like, okay, he looked pretty good against the Eagles' backups.
He's a game-time player.
He would add 100 yards passing if Javon Baker didn't drop that post. That doesn't mean he's just ready to go.
To win the game.
Did you miss the part where I said, I don't know that he's necessarily won the job, but I know that
Jacoby
Brissett
has lost it? So that's the point. If he hasn't won the job, what?
Because your coach is a complete fraud. That makes your coach a complete fraud because he started day one and said, we are here as a team to compete. My training camp is about competition. There is a competition at quarterback. And if players know that the better quarterback isn't playing, you've established an entire foundation of your organization fraudulently.
Sure, but do they know the better quarterback's not playing?
Like, I feel like that's a fatal flaw.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be a yeah, but not a sure, but.
Sure.
No,
sure.
I like to mix it up. I'm not a big yeah, but. I try to avoid yeah, buts. But do the players necessarily know the best quarterback's not playing? I don't think that's true.
They don't have eyes?
Yeah, they have eyes. You and I have been there, too.
Blind players?
Like, I understand Brissett was bad the other night.
He's
and
been
I think
bad.
That's part of it.
He's
the
been
juxtaposition.
Bad. He's been bad in practice, too.
I don't think
he has trended over
I think
the
you're
last...
overselling him being, like... Don't,
I think you're underselling
May,
the guy wide open that he misses by
I've
5 yards.
I've seen Jacoby Brissett play for 8 years. I know what Jacoby Brissett is.
Has been better than I think people have given him credit for in practice. And like you and I, but I think he's been better. However, I don't think he's been consistently better than Brissett. And part of that is Jerod Mayo's fault. You won't rep him with the ones ever.
Correct.
So if he starts...
Give Drake May, DeMario Douglas, the guy that I answered. Remember our questions?
Yep.
And you said, who do you have to scheme for? It's a stretch. I'm not going to lie. That's all they got. But
Your Honor, please note, he admits a stretch.
He's the closest thing you have, and Drake May never gets to play with him.
Yeah.
Never. And
no,
that's
and
a problem.
I'm not disagreeing with that either. He doesn't play with Hunter Henry.
No disagreement. That's a win for Eddie Hart.
Give him Hunter Henry, Ramondre Stevenson, and DeMario Douglas, and you actually do have to warn him. Hey, just an FYI, we put your best offensive lineman in the middle. We moved our most expensive offensive lineman to guard. If I were you... I'd have my head on a swivel on the two edges because you're going to be under pressure, which is why we drafted an athletic quarterback who plays football.
Well, that's the whole point of having a guy who can move.
Here's another piece, right? They want to run the West Coast offense, okay?
Sure.
Right? All
some
that
people want
them
to scrap it already, which I don't really understand.
Hey, I still miss Josh McDaniels, but that's just me. But anyways.
He's available if you want him.
Yeah, hey, just not as head coach. But what did also, as good as Drake May was, what did he do the other night? Fumbled a snap. Like
with
that's
a backup,
huge,
with a
huge
what, backup center?
Another point in the offensive line category, you have a lot of uncertainty there.
No, that's why I want to put him out there behind David Andrews.
Yeah, because what happened with David Andrews
already,
in the game? He
the most important player on the
he's
team
fumbled,
is named David Andrews.
100% agree.
You and I have seen it. He's fumbled multiple snaps in training camp. Now, he's gotten better. But I think they got to wait on
that's the exit.
Is that Knight Rider coming in? Is that Michael Knight coming driving up behind me on the highway?
Is that his actual name, Michael Knight?
Yeah, Michael Knight, Knight Rider. I never watched Knight Rider.
No, I know Knight Rider,
by the
way.
Program. I don't know what that is.
Because I tried to go back and watch it with my kids and be not like, great. I loved this as a kid.
And it stunk, right?
It's one of the worst things I've ever seen produced for a small screen.
So, like, I know of Knight Rider, but I didn't know any of the characters' names.
And in my mind, I prefer to go back to, like, it was awesome and I loved it, and Kit and the car and Michael Knight, badasses, because it's horrific. But hopefully the next 3 hours on WEEI will not be horrific, because you will get Chris Scheim. He gets the first name because he's right in this argument. With John Lyons, who will continue to debate the pros and cons, I guess, of starting Drake May, keeping Drake May on the sideline till week two, week five, week six, never playing him this season, which is where Darren Orlovsky originally was at draft time.
Bubble.
Now, all of a sudden, Darren Orlovsky says this guy needs reps, get him on the field, more reps, more reps.
Yeah, play him
in
2027.
There is buzz in Patriot Nation. That is the one thing I'm taking away. Drake May has injected buzz and life into a lifeless organization. We needed it. These guys will give you what you need in a radio show form for the next 3 hours here on WEEI. That's going to do it for Ken and Curtis. Good luck to Chris Curtis. Ken will be back next week. And I'll be back on Tuesday night with Rich Keefe in my normal nightly slot on the Rich Keefe Show. Enjoy your afternoon, everyone.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.